Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are going to continue the Whispered Madness saga with an adventure titled To the Rescue. With a startled shriek ringing in your ears, you rush across the lane to bravely engage the vile creatures swarming about the terrified woman. Let us begin. And once again, and it, like all the Whispered Madness sagas, it begins with the same series of quotes that you can just scroll through though in all of them. I read them all in the first one of this saga, so I won't read them again. You don't want to read them, but go back a few episodes or play it yourself. I prefer the latter. The dark-haired, middle-aged woman, briskly skirting the edge of the canal street, is, by any measure, the living epitome of confidence and grace. Her meticulous appearance and self-assured demeanour, in stark contrast to those whom she slips past, is at once entrancing. Fascinated, you watch as nearly everyone, seemingly instinctively, affords her a wide berth as she darts along the lane, clutching a large leather bag to her midriff, as if the very notion of endangering the satchel's unknown contents is a thought too dreadful to entertain. As she abruptly turns and crosses your path, brushing by within arm's reach, she glances in your direction. Wait, where was it? Glances in your direction, guarding you with a flicker of a smile and a quick nod before hurrying on. You immediately realise the simple, polite gestures, not tendered to anyone else as you walk past, or an obvious indication she knows of and has recognised you. Something about the woman's face, slender and attractive, though oddly angular, tapering to a pointed chin, stirs a memory. Try as you might, you're unable to recall why she seems so hauntingly familiar. As you turn to continue on your way, a piercing shriek rings out. Whipping your head in the direction of the alarming cry, you're shocked to find the woman clutching the leather satchel is surrounded by a swarm of massive black rats. A dozen dog-sized creatures lunge at the terrified woman, seemingly keen on tearing the pack she struggles to keep from their reach. Hey, rats, are these regular rats? Are these Kogari in disguise as rats? Or am I being mad? Probably the latter. And whether the Kogari can actually turn themselves into rats, that's even more uncertain, because it literally only happened once in the second one with the super fancy, with the hexahedron of perpetuity. Well, in one of the 64 different ways that could end up, you can see a Kogari turn into a rat. But that scenario is a bit uncertain as to what's happening is real and what isn't. So, Kogari turning into rats? I mean, they can turn into humans, so it's not really that much of a leap to say they could transform the other way too. But there's nothing to suggest they can. Just they might be able to. The dozen dog-sized creatures lunge at a terrified woman, seemingly keen on tearing the pack she struggles to keep from their reach. realizing any moment she'll be overwhelmed by the gruesome horde of giant vermin, he rushed towards her, bounding across the suddenly deserted street, prepared to hurl yourself into the thick of the vile swarm. You're just about to reach the woman when one of the massive rats bites into the bottom of the satchel she's clutching, tearing it open at the seam. Hey! Naughty! Naughty! That's naughty! One by one, 12 almost perfectly round, fist-sized white stones roll out of the newly wended hole and drop onto the street. A soft glow emanates from each of the stones. The swarming rats immediately abandon the woman and begin chasing after the white stones as the curious objects roll and skitter along the lane. Suddenly, a low, pulsing hum fills the air. You watch in a mix of shock and amusement as the swirling black portal opens flat on the ground in the middle of the street. Now that is something that more portal users should do. Have the portal on the ground. In the ground. Not just hovering or vertically orientated where anyone can see it and not be surprised. Put it on the ground. I don't know, put a board or something on top. You know, a nice delicate fragile board. And then they're going do 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 do. And then you fall into a portal. And then presumably, because those are the rules, you'd fight some things. And then a portal out would appear. Because apparently it's maybe it's a code. Maybe it's a rule of just a code of reality that users of gating do not use gating to just send someone into the middle of a volcano or otherwise just take them permanently out of the picture. No. You just gotta, you send them somewhere. They have to, there has to be a way back. It's just probably a code of honour they have. Presumably because if one of them started, you know, just gating people into volcanoes, all the others would start gating into people into volcanoes, and you'd have mutually assured being gated into volcanoes. And then everyone would be gated into volcanoes, and everyone would be dead, because they've all been gated into volcanoes. So that maybe that's why. They just... because because any gating wizard who, you know, goes outside the code gets gated into a volcano or something. Or, of course, it's a game and they can't win. And in a game, you cannot have it so that the rule is if you lose, it's your fault. Because no one likes to just have game overs be arbitrary and unfair. Well, except on Lucky Tower, but you don't get sent back much on that. The 12 round glowing stones roll into the yawning gate and immediately swallowed by the portal's churning inky core. With their grim cacophony of shrieks rising into the air, the swarming giant rats plunge into the portal after the stones. As the vile creatures tumble out of sight, the woman holding the tattered bag looks at you, her eyes wide with fear, her entire body trembling. Go after them! You must retrieve the stone, she cries. Retrieve them or all is lost! Hurry! Go! The sudden urge to follow after the stones and the rat. Follow after the stones and the rats by leaping into the portal is overwhelming. Without a second thought, you rush forward and spring into the magical gate and immediately find yourself spinning and tumbling through a frigid, lightless void. And let's just hope this isn't a trap that puts me in the middle of a volcano. As you tumble through the freezing darkness, no longer certain of any sense of time or direction, A silent war surges through your mind, jumbling your thoughts as it assails your psyche. Picking a number. Oh, it's the going man check. Bonus of 60. 20 from aura, 20 from mind, 20 from spirit. Got to get 100 or more. Pick now. 81. Failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. You struggle to quell the silent war, but unable to drive the terrifying bellow from your thoughts. Slowly the war becomes less pronounced until, at last, you're no longer certain you can hear it. Suddenly the frigid darkness melts away, and you find you're standing in the centre of a wide stone passage. A pale silver light dimly illuminates your surroundings, revealing what appears to be an expansive maze of twisting corridors. As the light begins to fade, you quickly draw out and deploy your light source, keen to ward off the encroaching gloom. You're standing in the precise location at which you first appeared in this strange maze of corridors. To north and south, the broad stone passage disappears into the surrounding gloom. Okay, so this passage, I'm right in the middle of this area. It's a fairly small dungeon with north and south passages, and then little curves in the northeast, southeast, southwest, and northwest. All right, I'm just going to pick a direction. I'm going to go north first. And as for the color of this map, it's kind of grey with a slightly marbled texture. Just slightly marbled. I keep going north. Strange shadows stir in the deep, musty gloom of the ancient Avadi tomb. Okay, if I'm in a tomb, I'm saying it's about 70% chance I'll end up fighting undead at some point. And I've reached the end of the... I've gone as north as far as I can go. A massive stone hand extends, a palm upward, from the back wall of this wide alcove. Examine it more closely. Might as well. You carefully examine the massive stone hand and discover the likeness of an eye engraved upon its palm. Okay, what does that mean? Don't know yet. Alright, now to the south, northeast corner. As you pass through this section of the corridor, a dense black cloud billows up around you. Enveloped in the sinister crowd, a slew of disparate emotions threaten to overwhelm you as memories both real and imagined compete for dominance at the thaw of your thoughts. Picking a number, bonus of 40. 10 from mind, 20 from aura, 10 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more, or go a little bit mad, I guess. Pick now. 66. Failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. Despite a long and valiant struggle, the collective of emotions vying for dominance over your reason manages to embed itself in your psyche, with the effects of the continued assault on your mind causing you to rethink nearly every move. You step out of the dissipating cloud and wearily resume your exploration along the corridor. Okay. A giant black rat rushes out in the darkness ahead, its shrill shrieks echoing menacingly off the passage walls as it bears down on you. You instinctively draw yourself to combat-ready stance as you prepare to engage the vile vermin. Giant black rat. The massive black rat viciously attacks you. But it seems to be just a regular rat. It's scaled to 11 plus, but still just a regular rat. It's just a bit bigger than usual, but it is slain. 16 XP. The bloody carcass of the giant rat. Giant black rat lies at your feet. Stepping away from the creature's remains, you spend a few moments checking over your gear. For once again, before preparing to once again set off along the corridor. Suddenly, you're about to set off along the corridor when the sound of something rolling along the stone passage reaches your ears. Only seconds later, on almost perfectly wound white stone walls out of the darkness, stopping less than a yard from you. A feeble glow emanates from the stone. Without a second thought, you scoop up the stone and place it in amongst your other belongings. Wound white stone. A soft glow emanates from this perfectly wound, fist-sized white stone. Okay, I assume those do something. You know, if any of this was actually happening. Which, of course, being whispered madness, you can't be sure of that. You can't be sure of that at all. After taking just a few moments to check over your gear, you warily continue your exploration of this curious place. Right, at the end of this corridor, as you reach the end of the passage, a tall humanoid shadow suddenly separates itself from the surrounding gloom and comes to stand before you. Mind or might issues a whisper from somewhere behind the shadow. Choose as you will, but know you will not be able to again do so. What is your answer? So mind or might? I'll choose might. Reply with might and watch as the shadow before you suddenly doubles in size and aggressively surges forward. Instinctively, you fall back and adopt a combat-ready stance, narrowly dodging the shadow's initial attack before immediately countering with your own. Okay, I'm guessing if I chose mind, I'll add another one of those do you go mad check. It's a greater shadow weeper. It's scaled to +9. The enemy deals you a devastating blow for 23 damage. Doesn't matter much. Smasher wallops it. Keep going. Another devastating blow. And slain. 25 XP. The shadow weeper shimmers brightly for several moments before suddenly growing larger and renewing its ferocious attack. Its skill scale to blue, but I think it'll be a higher blue. Yep, 11 plus. Yeah, it's got tougher. Yeah, keep going. Devastating blow and slain. 24 XP. The shadow weeper drifts back several feet before suddenly growing even larger. Without a sound, the sinister creature of shadow surges forward to resume its relentless attack. Wait, if it's a shadow creature, will Tierra's staff help? Begin combat. No, it doesn't help. Oh well, it's worth a try. Keep going. The enemy deals you a devastating blow for 30 damage. A masterful blow, 18 MR this round, which helps. Makes me do more damage since it's a scale fight. The powerful surge of negative Nivor energy washes over your foe. That does 10 damage. My normal attack does 11 and that finishes it off. 24 XP. You remain in the defensive stance as a Shadow Weeper. A dark figment that ever lurks at the edge of a mind tormented, fades back into surrounding gloom and vanishes. After several long moments, when you're certain the sinister entity is at last gone, you relax your guard and allow yourself several deep, well-deserved breaths. Then, with your every sense alert, you prepare to once again set off through the dark. Fortunately, my Nevil Reserve has not been affected, so I can just heal from that. Which makes these combats a lot less worrying, if you can just heal yourself afterwards. Of course, I only have a finite store of heals, but it's very, very large. Alright, now to check out the northwest corner. Just get curls in. As you pass through this section of the corridor, a dense black cloud suddenly billows up around you, enveloped in the sinister cloud. A slew of desperate emotions threatens to overwhelm you as memories both real and imagined compete for dominance at the thaw of your thoughts. Anyway, picking a number. Bonus of 40. 20 from mind, 10 from aura, 10 from spirit, 75 or more to pass. Pick now. 140. Success! Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. After a brief but exhausting struggle, you manage to suppress the collective emotions vying for dominance over your reason. As the lingering effects of the assault on your psyche begin to wane, the cloud dissipates and you warily resume your exploration along the corridor. It's another giant black rat. Just going to quick combat that. And I did. Went into battle wage for it. 16 XP. The bloodied carcass of the giant black rat lies at your feet. Stepping away from the creature's remains, you spend a few moments checking over your gear, for once again, preparing to once again set off along the corridor. And it's another white, round white stone. It appeared, it just rolled up to me, like the other ones. Sort of convenient that. But I mean, maybe the stones are a little bit alive, and they want to roll to me, but they can't while the rats are around, because they can't roll that well. Not like good at rolling, just roll a little bit. If a rat comes up, it could just go squeak and go boom and just knock it out of the way, and it'd just be embarrassing for all concerned. So maybe that. Or of course, none of this is actually happening. This is whispered madness. So that's just what the Hung God wants me to think is happening. Anyway, I have a round white stone. And I've reached the end of this passage too. As you reach the end of the passage, a tall humanoid shadow suddenly separates it from the surrounding gloom and comes to stand before you. Mind or might, issues a whisper from somewhere behind the shadow. Choose as you will, but know you will not be able to do so again. What is your answer?
Well, firstly, you and myself. Right, mind.
The instant you reply with mind, your thoughts begin to scramble, swiftly becoming a tattered jumble of images and words you've suddenly unable to recognise. As the shadow before you begins slowly retreating into the surrounding gloom, you valiantly fight for control of your fraying sanity. Picking a number, bonus of 60, 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit. Gotta get 100 or more, or go completely doolally. Pick now! 119, success! Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. You manage to steel your psyche against a wild torrent of images, words and sound, cascading through your mind, staving off the more deliberating effects of the madness threatening to consume you. The images flooding your mind suddenly vanish, leaving a deafening cacophony of indistinct sounds and a muddled web of incoherent thoughts. It's the go mad check again, but this time I only need to pass to get 90. Pick now. 101, success! Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. You gasp and stagger back as your psyche buckles, but ultimately holds against the sinister assault of your shadowy foe. The sounds assailing your mind suddenly fall silent, leaving in their wake a jumble of thoughts you are unable to understand. Okay, picking a number. Bonus 60. Success 80. Pick now. 74. Failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. You collapse to your knees in the centre of the passage and instinctively throw your hands over your ears as the scattered thoughts consuming your mind become too much to bear. With your very next breath, however, the jumble of incoherent notions surging through your heart, psyche suddenly depart, leaving behind an overwhelming sense of calm purpose. As you return to your feet, the shadowy being before you seems to shrink back, noticeably diminished. You remain in a defensive stance as a shadow weeper, a dark figment that lurks ever at the edge of a mind tormented, fades back into the surrounding gloom and vanishes. After several long moments, when you're certain the sinister entity is at last gone, you relax your guard and allow yourself several deep, well-deserved breaths. Then, with your every sense alert, you prepare to once again set off through the dark.
Okay, we've explored the northern bits. Now to move on to the southern bits. Another giant black rat. Quick combat, 16 XP, and another round white stone. Alright. Oh, bugger. At some point, not sure when, probably when I failed one of those sanity checks, I lost all my Neville reserve. Whew, I might be in a bit of a sticky situation now. Alright, as you pass... I'm going around the southwest side. As you pass through this section of the corridor, a dense black cloud swiftly billows up around you. Enveloped in the sinister cloud, a shrewd, disparate emotions threatens to overwhelm you as memories both real and imagined compete for dominance at the thought of your thoughts. Same check as the previous clouds, pick now. 110 success. After a brief but exhausting struggle, you manage to suppress the collective of emotions vying for dominance over your reason. As the lingering effects of the assault on your psyche begin to wane, the cloud dissipates, and you warily resume your exploration along the corridor. Honestly, it looks like picking mine just isn't worth it, because you can lose your entire Neville reserve, which just makes everything harder. And you're going to need your Neville reserve to heal up after the rat fights. Alright, southwest corner. Okay, my
mind or might. Choose as you will. But know that you will not be able to again choose. So, what is your answer? Choose might.
You reply with might and watch as the shadow before you it suddenly doubles in size and aggressively surges forward. Instinctively, you fall back and adopt a combat-ready stance, narrowly dodging the shadow's initial attack before immediately countering your own. It's a greater shadow weeper. This one's just 8+, which makes it quite a bit easier. Which I'm going to need because I lost my Neville reserve at some point. It is slate. I got a lot of devastating blows that time. Greater shadow weeper. Comes back. Oh dear, I think I might... I'm nearly depleted. It is slain. And 24. The shadow... 24 XP. The shadow weeper drifts back several feet before suddenly growing even larger. Without a sound, the sinister creature of shadow surges forward to resume its relentless attack. Quick combat. That gives me some damage, but... I'm down to 61 health, and I have no Neville reserve, and... Alright, Wander Dragonfire, there. A deafening roar fills the air as a powerful breath of fire explodes from the tip of your iron wand. The enemy is consumed by a ravaging flames. Taking 158 points of damage, you have slain your foe. 24 XP. Alright, and it's gone. Want to bend, prepare to set off through the dark. Giant black rat. It's 8+. Just going to quick combat it. It is slain. 14 XP. Round white stone. I'm not sure why, but it seems like the difficulty went down. Possibly because I passed some checks or did something. Oh, I'm going to soon have to use my quickstone. And the south end? A swirling cloud of dark mist fills the southern end of the passage. Standing at the edge of the cloud, you watch as thin streaks of light now and again skitter across the mist's rolling surface. Okay, dark mist. This will either... if I step into the cloud, I'll either be healed... or... screwed. Step into the cloud.
step into the cloud.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Body begins to violently tremble as your mind floods with images both gruesome and surreal. Well, I really should have seen this coming. It's the go mad check. Pick now. 79. Failure. Shaken to the core, you stumble out of the cloud as wave after wave of intense pain whacks your body. As the pain slowly subsides, you slowly back away from the churning wall of mist. What if I step into the cloud again? Same check again. 148. Success. With your mind wheeling, you stumble out of the cloud and slowly back away from the churning wall of dark mist. Okay, looks like there's nothing I can do there. Quick combat for a giant rat. It is slain. 14 XP. And another wild white stone. How many of those have I got now? 5. Okay, I think this was 12 in the bag, so I'm nearly halfway there. Living on a prayer and all that. Is there any real reason for me to go into the corners? Giant black rat. It is slain. 14 XP. Another round white stone. You know, I'm going to ignore the southeast corner because there doesn't seem to be any reason for me to go there. Other than apparently they can make the giant white rats easier. I think that might be part of the reason you do it. Giant black rat. It's what, not white rats, black rats. And there's another one. 14 XP. Round white stone. Okay, how many of them have I got now? Number 8. That's 2/3 of them got. Quick combat, another giant black rat. And slain. 14 XP. Another round white stone. 3/4 of them got. I'm going to pause and check the wiki. Okay. Going to have to keep. Yeah, the wiki didn't really tell me anything. Probably because I wrote it myself. Alright, I'm going to the southeast corner. As you pass through this section of the corridor, a dense black cloud swiftly billows up around you. Enveloped in the sinister cloud, a slew of disparate emotions threatens to overwhelm you as memories both real and imagined compete for dominance at the thought of your thoughts. Picking a number, bonus of 60, 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit, 100 or more for success. Pick now, 146, success. Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved. After a brief but exhausting struggle, you manage to suppress the collective of emotions vying for dominance over your reason. As the lingering effects of the assault on your psyche begin to wane, the cloud dissipates and you warily resume your exploration along the corridor. Can I do anything at the Stonehand yet? A massive stone hand extends palm upwards from the back wall of the alcove. Particular item may be of use here. It's probably those wound stones. Should have put them on the recently used thing, but I didn't. Oh well. Round white stone. Use. When you attempt to replace the 9 stones you carry onto the hand's broad palm, repelled by invisible force. Alright, looks like I've got to do something to unlock the hand. Because the face ain't listening, apparently. Or something like that. I don't know. Okay. Which means I have to go to the four corners. Giant black rat. Just gonna quick combat that. It is slain. 14 XP. Another wound white stone. That's 10 of them now. You know what? I think I'll go through all these rat fights while they're scaled at 8+. just in case I mess up and get them scaled at something higher. They are slain. Another 14 XP. Another stone. Last wat and the last stone. Giant black wat. This is slain. 14 XP. Scoop up the stone and place it in amongst your other belongings. There, that's all the stone's got. Alright, now I just need to unlock the hand where presumably I put them. And there we are. So do I choose mind or might? You know what, mind. Because now I fought all the wats, it doesn't matter as much. If the difficulty goes up, because there's nothing to raise the difficulty for, choose mind. And it's the instant you reply with mind, your thoughts begin to scramble, swiftly becoming a tattered jumble of images and words you're suddenly unable to recognise. As the shadow before you begins slowly retreating in the surrounding gloom, you valiantly fight for control of your fraying sanity to go mad check and failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. I hope I do not regret that. Despite your best efforts, you're unable to steel your psyche against a wild torrent of images, words, and sounds cascading through your mind. You burst into fits of uncontrollable laughter as your grip on reality begins to weaken. The images flooding your mind suddenly vanish, leaving a deafening cacophony of indistinct sounds and a muddled web of incoherent thoughts. Picking a number, bonus 60, success 90, pass to not go even more crazy, 83, failure. Your mind's current lucidity has been compromised. Despite your best efforts, you're unable to steel your psyche against a wild torrent of images, words and sounds cascading through your mind. You burst into a fit of uncontrollable laughter as your grip on reality begins to weaken.
It's fine. It's fine. Absolutely fine.
Sounds assailing your mind abruptly fall silent, leaving in their wake a jumble of thoughts you're unable to understand.
Sorry for anyone who was on microphones just now, but I'm going to keep doing it.
Bonus was 60. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit.
No, I mean headphones. Microphones. I'm on the microphone. You're on the headphones. If you're not, you know, using your speaker. Or something even bigger and fancier. Maybe you're using your Alexa to listen to this. Who knows?
Alright, same check again. Success 80. How do you rate success? Your mind's current lucidity has been preserved.
Finally!
You collapse to your knees in the centre of the passage and instinctively throw your hands over your ears as the shattered thoughts consuming your mind become too much to bear. For your next breath, however, the jumble of incoherent notions, surging through your psyche, suddenly depart, leaving behind an overwhelming sense of calm purpose. As you return to your feet, the shadowy being before you seems to shrink back, noticeably diminished. You remain in defensive stance as a shadow weeper, a dark figment that ever lurks at the edge of a mind tormented, fades back into the surrounding gloom and vanishes. After several long moments, when you're certain the sinister entity is at last gone, you relax your guard and allow yourself several deep, well-deserved breaths. Then, with your every sense alert, you prepare to once again set off through the dark. Okay, now with those four shadow weepers dealt with, to attack my mind, to attack my might, I should now be able to put these round white stones here, which apparently help somehow. Round white stone. You gently place the 12 stones you're carrying onto the hand's broad palm. A strange feeling passes over you as you step back from the massive hand. 192 experience to general, which is a general sign that yes, you should have done that. It's fine, it's part of the plan for you to do that. Suddenly, a groan of grating stone echoes through the alcove as the massive hand begins to move, its wide fingers forming a fist that close around the 12 stones resting in its palm. 32 experience to general. Examine the stone fist more closely. You carefully examine the massive stone fist and discover the likeness of a clawed hand engraved upon its broad thumb. Okay, what does that mean? I have no idea. Okay, I've been everywhere else. Let's go south. A swirling cloud of dark mist fills the southern end of the passage. Standing at the edge of the cloud, you watch as thin streaks of light now and again skitter across the mist's whirling surface. Step into the cloud. Just as you step into the cloud, your body begins trembling violently as your mind floods with images both gruesome and surreal. Suddenly, the dark cloud abruptly dissipates, revealing your surroundings have completely changed. You're standing in what appears to be the precise centre of a massive iron-walled room. Large torches hang at regular intervals along the walls, the combined glow illuminating much of the vast space. And here we are, back where we started. This is a deep, sinister voice. Oh, wait. No, I remember who. And here we are, back where we started. Issues a deep, sinister voice from behind you. Do you remember me? It is inconceivable you do not. Though I do not, I no longer dare to gamble with assumptions when it comes to you. I have found myself surprised at certain points in the past. You spin around and instinctively draw into combat-ready stance. Standing less than 5 yards from you, his massive, charred hands resting on his hips, his wide, dark eyes reflecting the bright flames of a non-existent fire, is none other than Woundskin. Blimey, we're in trouble now. Especially since I only have 40 stamina points left. The immortal ogre snorts, and the countless blue wounds covering nearly the entirety of his gruesome bulk briefly flare with an intense white light.
I believe they called it the Hogewand, he grumbles derisively. The great madness, others might say, but it should be remembered that nothing is born of nothing. What was before is now, and will be again, and again after that. The madness, the anguish, the calamitous witness of this great folly. One is hard pressed to pretend there's no humour in it, for it is seldom seen in such a light. A shame, truly.
You boldly address Woundskin, pointedly inquiring about his role and what you've come to believe is the dawning of another great madness. But he slowly shakes his head and frowns in response.
I can't quite hear you in this place, he says,
his voice suddenly like the rumble of distant thunder.
Because neither you nor I are actually here. This place doesn't exist, except for...
Yeah, it's sort of hard to do the Woundskin voice.
Except for as you perceive it. You undoubtedly think... answers from me, and you would be wise to do so. For my knowledge is great, without limit, by reckoning without flaw. I will impart to you only this. Do not shrink away from the Pepsis. Upon which you now teeter. Welcome the coming chaos. Embrace your own unraveling. It will lead you to the heart of this matter. To the truth, brutal and unadorned. Should you take any interest in such things?
Suddenly, Woundskin's broad brow deeply furrows, and he steps towards you. A massive iron-hafted hammer. Its spiked, oaken head, enveloped in a golden glow, appears in his hand.
This will occur because you desire it to,
he says, his voice now soft and low.
Very soon, you and I shall again meet. Awash in the reality you've chosen to believe. Let this set the course for that most fateful encounter.
Having cleverly anticipated the immortal ogre's next move, you roll to your right, nimbly dodging the swipe with his fearsome hammer. Springing to your feet, you rush forward and lunge at Woundskin, inexplicably compelled to engage and defeat the ageless terror. Okay, we are fighting Woundskin, or the idea of Woundskin, or a psychic projection of Woundskin, or the memory of Woundskin, or my own fear of Woundskin, or my own something. Or just some random hobo on the street that I think is Woundskin. Because, you know, whispered madness. So, what we see and what is happening don't line up at all. Begin combat. Okay, firstly, Quickstone. The Quickstone shimmers and glows bright red as it fully heals you. And Woundskin swipes at you with its fearsome hammer. And he's got a lot of health. As you would expect from, you know, Woundskin. He's a tough guy. Now, if I had magic, it would really help in this situation. But I don't. So I'm going to use the Finger of Dread. An overpowering sense of dread comes over you. As the finger of bone, as you level the finger of bone at your enemy, your foe takes 160 points of damage. The powerful aura of fear that surrounds the finger has taken its toll on you. You take 17 points of damage. The finger of dread has one use left before the three oryx bands disintegrate. And he is slain, you know, if he was actually here, which he isn't, but still. 10 XP. Woundskin sinks to one knee and swiftly holds up his left hand, signalling he no longer wishes to continue the fight. As you step back, retaining your guarded posture, the immortal ogre suddenly returns to his feet and bows. He opens his mouth as if to speak. But before he can issue a single utterance, his fearsome bulk shimmers brightly and vanishes. With a loud hiss, the torches winging the iron walls of this immense chamber suddenly go out, plunging you into darkness. Suddenly. Your stamina points have been fully restored, probably because they never actually went down in the first place. A hand gently lands on your shoulder. You look up to find, much to relief, that you're once again standing on the street before the woman to whose rescue you've boldly rushed. She withdraws her hand from your shoulder and smiles, who continues to guard you with a quizzical stare. Your reputation is well deserved, it seems, she says, still smiling, as she reaches out and takes the leather pack you suddenly realise you're holding out for. I've seldom encountered such enthusiastic courtesy. But know that it's most welcome. I should be more careful about tipping this bag when the flap's not properly tied. I don't think the little tumble they took out the bag will hurt them. They're harder than stone in some respects. As the woman takes possession of the leather pack, you peer into the open top of the sizeable bag and are startled to discover it contains a dozen roughly wound objects, each wrapped in a thin piece of cloth. Okay, so what happened was she wasn't attacked by rats, she just slipped and these things fell out. And then I picked them up. And somehow I interpreted that as me going through a dungeon. I've been kind of strange to see them, to see what I'm doing. You know, every time I'm about to pick up one of those things, I just do a little chop, 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 pow, pow, pow. Take that, you big rat. Okay, I guess he's just doing a bit of street theatre. Alright, okay, well, he's a hero. He's the great hero of the stage. He can be weird if he wants. He's rich enough that he can get away with it. Apparently, taking your interest in the satchel's content, the woman tells you they're loaves of turnbread, destined for the guards' barracks. For guards' barracks near the city gates. Now, what is turnbread? Turnbread, this dense, hardy, wheat and barley bread, is traditionally baked small, round loaves. The name turnbread refers to the long-standing legend that states a loaf of this bread must be turned, rotated at least once while it's rising, or ill luck will descend upon anyone who consumes it. Turnbread is a staple for many travellers because of its ability to keep for long periods, as long as it remains reasonably dry. Most loaves of turnbread have a thick, hard outer crust and a soft inner core. Oh, that does sound nice. I'm going to put so much cheese on it. Just something I do from time to time to thank those who keep this city a place in which those who conduct business can reasonably continue to do so, she says. Here, would you care to have one? As the woman draws one of the wrapped turnbreads out the pack and offers it to you, your mind begins to race. All at once you're aware that none of the fantastic events you vividly recall seem to have actually taken place. The attack by the giant black rats, your excursion into the strange lair through the portal, the retrieval of the wound white stones, and your encounter with the wound skin. Staring down at the cloth-covered turnbread resting in the woman's outstretched hand, you can't help but smile. The hard, hardy, wound loaf is almost exactly the same size and shape of the 12 stones of which you risked life and limb. You know, I can accept the term bread or politely decline. You know what I'll accept? Don't want her to think that she's not making good term bread, when I'm sure these term bread are excellent. It's a wound term. The woman smiles as she hands you the wrapped term bread. Wound term bread loaf. This small cloth wrapped loaf of term bread is almost perfectly wound. This dense, hardy bread will last a good long while if kept reasonably dry. which is good because it's now just going to be in my inventory forever. Good thing it has a zero encumbrance. Not to everyone's taste, I know, she says. But I say my turn bread is better than most, while remaining just as durable. You might try saving it for some time when you really need it. I'll keep. Still unsettled by a vivid collection of events that almost certainly didn't take place, you consider posing what may seem like a strange query to the woman. So you can decide to ask her what actually happened, or decide against asking her. You know what? I'll go turn to wando.org for this.
Grandma.org has chosen one of two, so I'm going to ask her what actually happened. With her brow furrowed, the woman fixes you with a curious gaze. What do you mean? She asks. I stumbled over something at my feet and spilled the entire bag of bread. You came running up and helped me to retrieve them, quite quickly too. Why did you ask this? Do you not remember doing so? Eager to avoid a somewhat pointed question, do you apologise? Replying that you were merely interested in what caused her to spill the bread from the satchel. I see, she says, her tone making you uneasy as her eyes seem to search your face. I do hope that was all there was to it. Nothing else? I choose to believe you, of course. And perhaps that is the best place we can hope to leave it. The woman moves in close and meets you in the shoulder cross. I'm having to kneel down a bit to do it, because Sir Croakington is very small, nearly spilling the bag of bread in the process. She laughs as she steps back, taking a moment to secure the top of the satchel. Take care of yourself, and thank you, she says, before turning and heading off along the crowded lane. You watch as she leaves, again noting the confident gaze with which she carries herself. Suddenly, upon reaching the corner of the street, the woman turns and appears to stare back at you. Within moments, the intensity of her distant, unshifting gaze serves to quicken your pulse. Then, in the blink of an eye, she turns and passes around the bend in the lane, disappearing from sight. For the next several minutes, you remain at the edge of the lane, silently watching people make their way to and fro along the narrow street. Despite repeated attempts, you are unable to shake the unsettling memory of the woman's haunting, distant stare. Now, whether that's because there's anything to that stare, or whether that stare actually happened, or whether that stare was haunting, or whether it's all just the madness, I don't know. You don't yet know it, but your last view of her piercing gaze is something that will, from time to time, unexpectedly slip in amongst your thoughts, seemingly mocking the tranquility you seek during quiet moments of reflection. And so it will be for the remainder of your days. And that finishes this adventure with 2,048 experience to general, and 128 experience to all skills and powers, which is fairly nice for what is a fairly short adventure, especially if you don't let yourself get distracted, like I did, just going on about various things. Okay, well, I can save now. And now another adventure has been unlocked. It's in Warfoot in Eastern Tysa. It's called In Bleakest Winter. And we'll be starting that next time. And, well, okay, it's a bit of a spoiler, but it's a big one. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.